Right, perhaps you can hear me now. It's good to be here. It's good to be back. It's always great to be here in Twinning. It's, as I said to Andrew just now, it's like coming home every time we come here. It's always good to worship together, isn't it? I chose this morning's reading, not knowing that Emily was going to do a little piece on David and Goliath. Had I realised, I could have perhaps added my message to that. But I just felt that I was moved to this piece of scripture this week. And it's been quietly speaking to me, and I hope that maybe something that I say today, the Lord will speak to you also. Because there's something about this story that Tom read about blind Bartimaeus that we read about in Mark. There's something about this story that really touches my heart. If you like, it's a story of great faith, isn't it? Blind Bartimaeus, this blind man who, we don't know how many years he'd sat there at the roadside begging, trying to, as it were, make a living, and how long he'd been waiting for his healing, if you like. But it is a story of great faith, and I find that stories of great faith inspire me, because I don't know what your faith is like, but my faith goes up and down. And I have to be honest with you and say that there are times when my faith is weak, very, very weak. There are times when I feel very strong in my faith. So my faith goes up and down. I always remember when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, when I that was here in this chapel 42 years ago, and I always remember somebody saying to me, "It's not going to be an easy journey, Chris. Just remember that. You know, it won't be all wonderful all the time. It's not going to be an easy journey." And it's true, isn't it? The Christian life is not an easy journey. And faith is not an easy thing. And of course, here we have blind Bartimaeus who cries out to Jesus from among the crowd. This one voice in the crowd, he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." What happens? You would think that the whole of the world would come to a full stop and everything would be focused on him. Well, of course, the focus is on him, but the crowds, they just don't want to know, do they? "Oh, shut up, shut up. We don't want to hear this. You know, this is the Jesus passing through Jericho here, and we don't want to hear you shouting out like that." The crowd turns against him, don't they? They didn't care, really, whether blind Bartimaeus had any miracle or not. They just didn't care. And really, nothing has changed, has it, in the world today? The world tries to close the mouths of those that cry out to the Lord for mercy. But be encouraged, because when we read this story, we find that blind Bartimaeus cried out all the more. And I like that bit, that he cried out all the more. He needed help. He needed a miracle in his life. And he found that the only person, and he knew that the only person that could give that miracle would be Jesus. And I want to focus on verse number 50 in this reading, because this is where God seemed to focus for me today. Verse 50 reads, "Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus." It's a simple story of a man born blind whose life is reduced to sitting by the roadside, day after day, begging. There are two or three stories in the scriptures, aren't there, about men who are blind and are beggars and sit by the roadside. And you might have thought that in a land or a world where people might consider themselves religious, if you like, that they would have wanted to help him. But it seems that when blind Bartimaeus cries out, they only got more and more annoyed with him when he shouted out. But I like blind Bartimaeus, because I think that over the years, he had a great faith, and that great faith built over the years. All the little snippets of information that he had gleaned from other people and things that he had heard about Jesus, he stored up in his mind. We're told that Mary stored up these things in her mind, didn't she? And I think blind Bartimaeus did just the same. Stored up these things in his mind. Stored them away in his heart, if you like, to prepare him for the day when he would meet Jesus. Perhaps little things like how Jesus had healed other blind people. Perhaps he'd heard stories of how Jesus had healed the blind and thought, well, that could be me. That could be me. Perhaps he wondered as well whether Jesus was the promised Messiah. Could he be? Is it possible that this is the one that we've been waiting for? And of course, more importantly for Bartimaeus is, can he work, can he, Jesus, work a miracle in my life? And as he heard about Jesus, and the more he heard about Jesus, so blind Bartimaeus' faith began to grow. And he dreamed of the day that Jesus would pass by in front of him. Day by day, sitting at the roadside there, begging in Jericho. You know, it's quite possible that it could happen in reality for him, because he realizes, because pilgrims usually pass through Jericho on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So there's no reason not to believe that Jesus wouldn't be coming along that road. And of course the day comes, doesn't it, when Jesus does come through Jericho and walks along that road, the road that blind Bartimaeus has always sat at. And the crowd becomes noisier, and there's a bustle and a hustle and everything going on around him. And blind Bartimaeus realizes that something is happening. People are beginning to push past him. They're not interested in him. They're interested in this man who's coming through with his disciples. This man, Jesus, the man they'd heard all about. Was he the Messiah? Could he be the Messiah? And Bartimaeus realizes that the day has come. The day has come. And he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And with all the noise and all that's going on there, that one voice rings out. And he hears a voice say, bring that man to me. Bring that man to me. And then we're told that blind Bartimaeus jumped to his feet and threw his cloak aside and came to Jesus. And this is what I want to focus on this morning. Why do you think he threw away his cloak? Why do you think he threw away his cloak? You see, Bartimaeus' cloak was the one thing that people would recognize him from. He wasn't a rich man, was he? It was probably just a poor woven cloak, and he'd probably seen better days. But it represented his beggar's lifestyle. Anybody going down that road at any given time would see Bartimaeus sitting there in the dust with his little begging bowl in front of him. And they'd know that that was Bartimaeus if they lived in Jericho. They'd say, oh, that's Bartimaeus. He's the one in the old brown cloak. Everybody would know Bartimaeus as the blind beggar. That's Bartimaeus. He always sits there. That's his spot, if you like. That's his place. You see, it represented his old lifestyle, that cloak did, didn't it? His old lifestyle. Everybody knew Bartimaeus because of his cloak. But he has faith in Jesus' ability to change all this. And when Jesus calls him, he knows that he will be healed. He's got such a faith that he knows he'll be healed. And he'll have a new life. And he won't have to beg for a living anymore. He knows that change is on the way. So strong is his faith in what Jesus can do for him that he throws aside his beggar's cloak even before he went to Jesus. And this is what it's all about, isn't it? When we meet with Jesus, then we can be sure that our lives will never be the same again. will no longer be beggars. We will become new creations in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, the new has come. That's what it says in the Bible, isn't it? The old has gone, the new has come. There are better things ahead, and we never have to go back to a beggarly lifestyle again. Bartimaeus was so prepared in his heart to receive Jesus that it didn't occur to him to hang on to that beggar's cloak. Casting it aside, the Bible says, he went to Jesus. Once he sprang to his feet, he didn't see himself as a downcast beggar anymore. He knew that his miracle was in front of him there. He hadn't been healed yet, but already he had a vision of a new life once Jesus touched him. I've got a friend, his name is Adrian. I've known him for 18 years. Adrian is probably in his late 50s. And he's had multiple sclerosis all the time I've known him. When I first got to know Adrian, he was in a wheelchair. Today, he's confined to his bed. And his body is just a shadow of what it once was. But his mind is very alert. And he has a wonderful faith, a faith that I feel puts me to shame at times. And I go and I visit him, usually about once a month. And I was with him a week or so ago. And what do you say to somebody who you know is, shall we say, terminally ill in your own mind? What do you say to someone when you greet them? Because what we have a tendency to do is to say, "Hi, how are you?" Well, I can see how he is. He's just a shadow of his former self. So saying, "How are you?" doesn't seem right somehow. But I find myself saying, "How are things, Aid?" And his words to me, and they're always the same. "I'm fine, Chris. I'm still waiting for my miracle." This man has such a faith. He knows that he is going to be healed one day. And he has such a faith. And he believes it absolutely, that he's going to be healed one day. And he makes plans for the future. He lost his wife about a year ago to cancer, very sadly. And his wife, of course, used to drive a car. But he won't sell the car because he's going to need the car after his miracle, because he'll need the car. So the car's under wraps at the moment. "But still waiting for my miracle," he says. You know, what a faith that is, isn't it? Against all adversity, to be able to say that. And it was the same for Bartimaeus, wasn't it? "I'm waiting for my miracle." And finally Jesus comes, doesn't he? He comes to Jericho. It never occurred to Bartimaeus to see Jesus and then return to his place at the roadside along with all the other beggars. When I first started preparing this message this week, my intention was to speak on Jesus' words, "Your faith has healed you," in verse 52. But although I realize that my faith in Jesus has set me free, so often I realize that I'm still living like a beggar, because my faith goes up and down. I realize that sometimes I've lost the joy of my salvation, and I feel as if I'm just hanging on until the Lord comes or until I get called home. Standing here in this place this morning reminds me of the time when I first came to know the Lord Jesus Christ here in this chapel 42 years ago, and I was baptized in this chapel. And I remember standing giving my testimony here with tears in my eyes for what Jesus has done for me. How many times do we have tears in our eyes, tears of thanks for what Jesus has done for us years on? You see, sometimes I feel that the demands of this Christian life, if you like, are just too hard. We're living in a materialistic world, and it bears in on us, doesn't it? And sometimes I find it's just too hard, and I want to curl up, as it were, and close my eyes to it. And somehow Jesus' words, "Your faith has healed you," don't seem to have the meaning that they used to have. And as I pondered these words on the page, I lifted my eyes a little bit until I came to that verse there in verse 50 where he says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And I realized that when Jesus touched me, as he did all those years ago, he expected me to cast off my beggar's cloak, as it were. He expected me to rise to my feet and live a more abundant, joyous life. And the words from the Bible came to mind. "My God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." We used to have a man in our old church that used to say that regularly. He said it so many times. "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." Peter said in the Bible, didn't he? "By his stripes I am healed." Hebrews, "I will never leave you or forsake you." You know, God is speaking here, isn't he? And he's saying, your name is being spoken of in heaven. I'm not a beggar anymore, and neither are you. So why is it then that I insist on clinging to my beggar's cloak, which is full of fears and doubts, when all the while I know that I am accepted? In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, Paul said in Ephesians. And at the moment, all my focus tends to go onto this beggar's cloak. You see, this beggar's cloak represents all the limitations that are placed upon my life and our lives. Bartimaeus was a beggar. He was identified as a beggar when he wore his beggar's cloak. Everybody knew Bartimaeus, not as a blind man, but as a beggar. And as long as he wore it, that's where he would remain, at the roadside, begging. But once he met Jesus, everything changed. The limitations were gone. His future's not just orange, it's golden. His dreams can be fulfilled. He's not tied down anymore, is he? And you see, I've come to the conclusion and the realization, if you like, that it's possible to make a decision to follow Jesus, but also to cling to the limitations of the beggar's cloak. I've come to the conclusion that a new life doesn't just happen, but we have to make plans for it. And it certainly won't happen if we go back to sitting by the roadside, will it? I've come to the conclusion that I need to set new goals and break old habits. And at 80 years of age, I'm coming to the conclusion that I'm not too old to change as well. Bartimaeus could easily have said, "Well, I can't change. I can't do anything else. I'm blind. What can I do? I've always been a beggar." But friends, we must believe that with Christ helping us, we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. I have to stop questioning, well, can God do this? Can God heal? Can God meet people's needs today? Can God still save the lost? I have to turn it around, that God can. God can meet the needs of beggars today. God can still save the lost. And I have to cast off that beggar's cloak of limitations that I place upon my Christian life with him. But oh, how I hold onto this cloak. And how we do, don't we, sometimes? When I look back on the people who hurt me, the things they said, those daggers that seem to drive into the heart. When I look back on some of the past abuses, what happens? Well, I pull the cloak a bit tighter around me because it gives me comfort and I cocoon myself within it. You see, this beggar's cloak becomes a cloak of hurts, doesn't it? And Jesus says, throw it aside. Throw it aside. He says, you come to me and you ask me to heal those memories. You ask me to pour oil on those hurts. And I will. But first, you must get rid of the cloak that binds them to you. You see, that beggar's cloak represented security to blind Bartimaeus. But friends, it was nothing more than a false security, was it? He could cling to his cloak just in case things didn't work out with Jesus. I do this. Maybe we all do this. I don't know. Instead of singing, so I'll cling to the old rugged cross, I find myself singing, so I'll cling to the old beggar's cloak. You see, if Jesus couldn't help him, he could always go back to the roadside, couldn't he? If he kept his cloak. He could always go back to begging. If he didn't have enough faith to believe that Jesus could give him his sight, he could always go back to the side of the road. Like my friend Adrian, he's waiting for his miracle. You see, this cloak represented something to fall back on, didn't it? If all other things didn't work out. But Bartimaeus threw it away. Casting his cloak aside, he went to Jesus. He threw it away because he had full confidence in Jesus Christ. He knew that once he could see Jesus, then he wouldn't need that cloak anymore. He was headed for a change in life. And he got rid of what symbolized his blindness, his limitations, his hurts, and his false securities. You know, friends, God is so gracious, isn't he? He is so gracious. I often wonder why he doesn't give up on me. But God is so gracious. And he reminds me of when I first came to him, as I say, 42 years ago in this little chapel. And he says to me in those quiet moments, well, Chris, nothing held you back then. So what's holding you back now? Why are you holding onto those things that are holding you back now? Why don't you just be like Bartimaeus and throw your cloak aside? You did it once. You can do it again. You see, the beggar's cloak is only a place of false security, isn't it? Jesus wants us to cast it aside and trust him, as he brings us genuine security. At home, I've got a pair of old shoes. Had them for a long, long time. They are so comfortable. They really are so comfortable. But the sad thing is I can't wear them outside because the soles have got so thin that if I go out, they let in the wet and my feet get wet. So they're really quite useless in many ways. But I hang on to them because they're so comfortable. You know, we don't have to accept a life of false security just because it's as comfortable as our old shoes. When Bartimaeus was healed, the scripture said that he followed Jesus. Bartimaeus must have thought, well, now I've got my sight, I always want to look upon the face of Jesus. Jesus restored his sight. And he said to Bartimaeus, go, your faith has healed you, go. But the scripture says that he received his sight and he followed Jesus. He didn't walk away from Jesus, he followed Jesus. But there's one thing that the scripture doesn't tell us. And this is the lesson for me, certainly. And it is that he left his cloak behind him. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you this morning for opening my eyes to see what you want to do in my life today. Father, help me, help us to cast aside the cloak that holds us to our old lifestyle and binds us with limitations and reminds us of the hurts of the past. Father, help us to move into a new relationship with you where we feel secure in your love. Heal our hurts. Change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to sing our last song today, and I can't remember what it is, but Tom knows, because he's got it all written down.